Hey everyone, this is Whitney Stadman. Welcome back to Raising the Remnant. I am in the studio today with a very, very good friend of mine, Shelby. Say hi, Shelby.
Hi, guys.
And Shelby has been a friend of our family through some of the hardest seasons. I think if you listen to my last podcast, you will know that we just came out of a really hard wilderness season. And so we met Shelby in the midst of that. And Shelby was our children's pastor at a church we attended when we were living in Idaho, and has an incredible anointing with children, an incredible call on her life to disciple and truly raise the remnant. I like to tell the story of, if you go to a park with Shelby, be prepared that every child will be her best friend. I have never seen anything like it. I literally am like, that is anointing right there with kids. And that's true of everywhere you go. So Shelby, tell us just a little bit about you and your heart for kids and raising the remnant and what God's called you to.
Yeah. So I think my favorite part about kids is just how pure they are and how innocent they are, and also how honest they are. So I have loved working with kids for, I think it's been 10 years or even over 10 years now. And yeah, at first I started working with them in a school, which was really cool. And I got to build like 100 relationships, literally 100 kids. And I was just friends with all of them. And I remember, I don't like waking up early, guys. And I remember having to go to work at like 8:30 in the morning and Monday morning would come around and I wasn't sad about it. I wasn't upset about having to go to work. And I, you know, you eat lunch with the kids, you're with them the whole time. And it was never a burden and it never felt hard. But I got to work with kids for a long time at a great school. And then I got to pastor children for seven, almost 8 years at that church. So yeah, I've had a heart for kids. And just my heart is to connect them to Jesus for themselves through creating a space for them to encounter his voice and have their own personal encounter with him, because I can teach them all the details, but until they connect for themselves, I feel like it's just not quite as real until they have that moment where I think God said this to me or God showed me this thing. So that's just always been my heart for kids.
Well, and one of the things I think you do so well is that for you, there's, and I've watched you because, you know, our kids came into your program at that church. I mean, I think Legend was three. And so you had kids, you know, all the way from that preschool age, all the way through grade school, right before they hit junior high. And then you also would work with the junior hires into high school. And so because you were the children's pastor and that was part of what you did, even on staff, you worked so closely with kidsmen and youth ministry. And so I feel like you have such a unique perspective as we talk about the topic I want to introduce today. And I'm just going to title this, you know, cultivating the soil of remnants who encounter God, right? Who encounter God for themselves, who encounter the God that we say we serve. Because really, from an encounter, one encounter with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Godhead of who he is, can shift our life forever. Mm-hmm. And so many of us have testimonies like that of how God came into our life and shifted those things. But I think for when we're talking about our children, the reason why this topic is just so on my heart is I feel like you worked within systems, beautiful systems, but systems that, you know, are the church or school. Mm-hmm. And I've shared on this podcast so many times that I homeschool my kids, not because I want to keep them out of the world. In fact, I want them to be salt and light within the world, but I want to cultivate a soil that doesn't conform to a system necessarily. And not because there aren't systems that require us to adapt to them or be a part of them in some capacity, right? Work is a system. You know, there's systems that we do have to be part of, but I think there is this bias as parents that when we are looking at, let's just start with school or church, right? I grew up in the church and there was always this sort of this feeling that like if your kids were going to youth group and like if you just dropped them off there every single Wednesday, you would, you know, yay, they're going to church. You know, they're going to encounter God.
Right.
Except that's not how God always encounters everybody. And if they are not able to encounter God within the four walls of your own home, mm-hmm. then it makes that encounter like, oh, you must go to this place to have this encounter. Mm-hmm. And you used an analogy when we were kind of talking about this of like, kind of like with food, right? Like you said it's, you know, when they are taught something at home, they come to me in the school that I'm in or in the church that I'm in. And how do you liken that?
Yeah. So I think that a lot of times I think we just absentmindedly think as we take kids to school that, okay, teachers are now, they need to teach them everything they need to know, how to sit down, how to be polite, how to have all of these values, etc. Same with church. We drop off our kids back in kids' church. We go to service. They go to service. Their spiritual lives are being cultivated. And I'm not saying that's everyone, but I do encounter that on a regular basis. And when the actuality should be that we should be the ones who get to put the extra seasoning on top of their experiences and encounters with Jesus, we should get to put the extra seasoning in terms of even education. Like, there's things that, the way that I like to talk about it is the heart of a child, the soil of their heart is ready to receive seeds when they're prepared at home. When in the home, their hearts have been cultivated to have relationship with the Lord, to, I don't know, have you asked the Holy Spirit, like I've seen you guys do so often with your kids, of like, well, I don't know, I can't answer that for you. Let's ask God.
Yeah.
Those are things that in the home, that's not necessarily a regular thing that I get to hear about, at least in my experiences with families. And I've always thought like the amount that is deposited or received in a child's life is going to be based on the soil of their heart. What is happening at home and how the parents then cultivate even what has been deposited on a weekend. Like if they came to church, what did you guys talk about? How can we help you learn that? How can we develop this thing that has been deposited? And honestly, not a huge percentage of families would even ask what they learned about. And kids are very experiential, so we would always try to create a space for them to encounter Jesus because that's what's most important.
Yes. Well, and I feel like that's such a key. Like, kids are so experiential.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to take, I think, even our, like, grown-up way of relating to the Lord, right, and try to stick it in a soil that needs to experience him.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily, like, are we creating places in our homes where our children can come in and experience God for themselves? And I remember there when my boys came to your program at church, I remember you do this thing, you call it secret place time. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to talk about that. Because I feel like when we're talking about cultivating soil, at our house, you know, we spend time with Jesus, you know, beyond, I think like the bare minimum of cultivating the soil of a child's heart is praying with them, right? It is, you know, it is reading the Bible together. And I think that that's so important. But really what you want them to get to is hearing God for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then being able to come alongside them in confirmation, right? Because they do know the Bible stories. But even my own sons will be like, oh, how many times do I have to learn about Abraham? Mm-hmm. You know, because that is a good story. And it's incredibly important to our you know, like it's a pillar of our faith, right? Joseph, these are important.
Knowing the Bible is important.
We have to know that. Mm-hmm. But they don't know how to experience and apply that if we're not cultivating the experience of God with our own home. And so like when we start to do that, and that's where I want to talk about, like, how did you create a program that then I felt like we could deploy even at home, right? We could practice that in the home. And it was such a practical starting space, because I think if we've been Christian parents for a long time, if we've been serving Jesus for a long time, right? Many of us grew up in Christian homes. You know, you pray before you go to bed, you do family devotional times, you know, you talk about right and wrong, but this ability to hear God, I feel like is such a great starting point. If people are like, well, how do I start to cultivate a place where they can experience him that way. So talk a little bit about Secret Place and how that came about and what God, why God showed you that that's so important, especially in the life of kids. And I mean, even in us as adults, but mm-hmm. for them especially.
Yeah. I think honestly, the first time I experienced Secret Place time was at a kids camp, and the kids director at the time just did some soaking worship. And she's like, trust me, the kids can sit this long. And I'm like, I don't know. Are you sure? How long is this long?
Like, and soaking worship is just like, it's just music to sit in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have words. It's just.
Yeah. Okay. She just played on the keys. Every now and then she'd sing something. But the encouragement was just sit and listen. Mm. And that was the first time I had experienced somebody even trying to do that with kids. Mm-hmm. But I had just had that experience for myself as an adult for the first time hearing God's voice, and was like, I had to cultivate this space in my mind. I literally, God taught me the most practical way, which is so translatable to children, to be able to say, hey, this is kind of how I learned. So here's how you can try to create your secret place. Mm. And so for me, I was trying to sit, and somebody's like, we're just going to listen to God for the next 5 minutes, excuse me, in silence. And I'm like, oh no. So I sit there and I'm like, what do I picture? And I'm like, okay, I'm in a white space. And then I'm like, am I in a white room? Are there corners? Or am I in like a sphere? And I'm like, oh no, 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 back out, back out. And then it's like, no, no, just sit. And then after a while, it's like, okay, when I get home, I need to do my laundry first and then plan my lunch. And then, and it was like, no,
it's hard.
I'm missing this. So to what I had to picture was, I don't know what God looks like. So mm-hmm. I pictured a microphone, like on a stand on a stage with a light shining on it. And because my mind was captivated enough to see that, I could focus on something and allow God's voice to come into that space.
So good.
And so that's kind of how I learned to personally engage with God. And then I talked to one of my friends who's like, oh, my secret place looks like this. And it was like a beautiful garden and swings and flowers. And I was like, hey, wait, I want that. I have barely anything in mind. So it started to develop over time, and the more time I go back into secret place time, God shows me a new asset or a new place or a new thing that he likes to show me, but or a new facet, I guess, of the secret place. But teaching kids that, they have a crazy great imagination.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, we're gonna add this into the program, and it's gonna be every time we meet with these kids, because this is the most fruitful time of our entire time we engage together.
Crazy.
And at camps, it's beautiful because it's like, you know, we've had them all week long. And so you get to see them pop off all over the place. But even cultivating during the weekend gatherings was, I still want this to be in here every weekend, because afterwards we ask the kids, what did you see or hear or feel? Or what did you just know or sense from God in that time? And it blesses me almost every time you ask kids what they, because they're, well, I saw this thing and this thing and this thing. I remember your son, mm-hmm. Warrior, being like, okay, I saw this and this. And I'm like, I don't know how to interpret those things, but I know your mom can. So we'll talk to her after it, but write it down. Write it down. Like, that was important. Write it down so you can tell her or remember it. But I think that it's important to create that space and almost give kids permission to sit down. It's hard. Mm-hmm. We can't wiggle. We're mm-hmm. trying really hard to sit, because my favorite story in the Bible talks about how God's voice was still and small.
Yeah.
He has a still small voice, but I broke it down like there was almost a comma between those, that his voice is still and his voice was small, like a whisper.
Oh, that's good.
And so I was like, okay, well, we need to sit still.
Wow.
And lean in, because it's a small voice.
That is so good, because again, kids are experiential, and right, you're telling them to sit still. They know what that means. Right. But when you say it from a biblical perspective, I feel like breaking down biblical truths to where they're not just this some lofty thing mm-hmm. you're trying to attain to, but it is a still, which means you must be still. It's a posture. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Like, you must be still to hear him. Mm-hmm. And it's a whispering voice. And when someone whispers, right, you could even act that out with your kids. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to lean in. And that, and again, going back to their imagination, mm-hmm. right? Kids imagine all kinds of things. And so, like, my son, my older son, Warrior, He says, the Lord told me one time that he can meet us in our imagination because it's something that exists outside of time and space. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. I mean, he's 10 and he's like, because that's where God exists, outside of time and space. And so he's like, we have to learn. We talk about guarding our imagination. And I feel like giving them the opportunity to be like, where are you sitting? Mm-hmm. Where is Jesus?
You can be anywhere. It doesn't have to. I'm like, you can be underwater. You don't have to be able to breathe underwater. Yeah. It's your imagination. Like my two rules are secret place. I want you to be at peace. And yeah, peace is kind of hard to explain to kids. So I usually take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And I say, that's kind of what peace feels like.
Yeah, it's like, I can relax here.
Right. You're not stressed. Mm-hmm. You're not scared. So it's a place that you feel safe.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is always leave room for Jesus. And the reason I pick Jesus is that I'm like, of course, we want to engage with Jesus, but also he's the only one we have depicted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that it feels pictures. Like they would have like a frame of reference.
Right. If I'm like, listen to the Holy Spirit, they're going to be like, what does that mean? Leave room for the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you what he looks like. But I know they can at least picture Jesus. And so I have them like picture Jesus and come into that space. And I'm like, whether you're on a beach and on a towel, leave room for him to come sit by you. If you're on a swing, he's maybe pushing you, you know. But imagine that he's there with you. And even just sitting with him, he's going to be so happy to spend that time, and he can meet you anywhere. I always tell the kids, like, you can't go anywhere. He's not going to find you.
Which knows, is also scriptural.
Yeah. He knows exactly where you're going. So he'll meet you there.
If you go into the depths of Sheol, he will be there. That's what the Bible says, like, spot on, you know, and it's taking these truths and saying like, these are real truths. Like that means that no matter where you go, he's going, right? Which then again, they are meeting him and cultivating into a space where they learn practical ways to hear the voice of God, which what I think is powerful about that is, again, we could in our homes teach them all the word of God, and that is so wonderful. But how many of us know, even as adults, like we still wonder, you know, if we heard God's voice? And so this becomes this amazing practical tool to start cultivating the secret place with the Lord, the still small place with the God, where they get to see him and experience him. And you know what I love about that too is I think there's this system of the world, right, where you have the New Age movement, which is totally demonic. It's not of God, which is like, practice your mindfulness, right? And we say, you know, you must renew your mind. Mm-hmm. And I feel like by even giving parameters, you must feel peace. Well, you don't feel peace unless you know the Prince of Peace, right? He is Shalom Peace. And so the fact that you're like, no, we're not going into some weird mindfulness space. We are going into the space where he resides, which is peace, rest. And what was the other one you said?
It was peace and safety.
And safety. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that they are safe there and that there's space for Jesus, which is not something that New Age mindfulness, relaxation techniques are going to teach you.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, and they can do this anywhere. I mean, I have both of my boys, and it's so funny. Shelby and I were talking about it today because we were doing communion and secret place time. Shelby is here living with us now as she's transitioning into some new roles here in California where we all live. And so we were cultivating this together. We felt led to do communion together. And so we just got the boys together and we started doing secret place and just spending time soaking in his presence. And it was amazing. I mean, both of them, and now this has become something that we do together. And they see us doing it. And they're like, well, what did God say to you, Mom? What did God say to you, Shelby? And we all take turns. And the other thing that does is it cultivates a partnership spiritually in your household. Because I think sometimes we have this place of like, well, if I just send them to children's church, or if I just get them to youth group, like somehow out there, they're going to encounter him. And that may be one amazing encounter that's life altering. And that does happen. Absolutely. It does. That's
God uses it all.
100%.
Yeah.
But we must learn to also bring that encounter into our homes so that we're not always seeking this outside of our household. Like I think I've said it in here before, like there's that verse where it says like, they're arrows in my quiver. They're not arrows in your quiver, mm-hmm. right?
They're not mine to, yeah, fire off.
Mm-hmm. They're not. You can come alongside. Mm-hmm. You can. But again, if the soil is not being cultivated, right? So they come in on Sunday mm-hmm. or Saturday or whatever. They have this amazing secret place time with the Lord. And then they go all week long at school, at home, and never once are given the opportunity or the practice or the space to sit with him again. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And that's not just the written word. It's the Holy Spirit word in our life. And so there's this place also where I feel like, so they're going to go all week long without hearing a word from God?
Right. And it's like, so that's your only offensive weapon against the enemy is the sword of the Spirit,
yeah,
which is the word of God, which if it's a double-edged sword, like it talks about in Hebrews, which we were talking about earlier, then it is both logos, the written word, and rhema. Mm-hmm. And we need both sides sharp if we're going to be effective,
yeah,
with the weapon that God has given us against the enemy. And so I think that's why I get so passionate about kids hearing the voice of God. But even for me, like I have to check myself not to get into a system.
Yeah.
Not to create a formula.
Yeah.
That it works perfectly for everyone, because it doesn't. So even if you do practice some secret place time, we have kids that they dream.
Right, right.
And they hear from God that way. And that's the only way they really hear from God. So we have to remember, I remember in the early years of doing secret place, there were so many frustrated kids because they didn't see or hear God's voice.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh man, I am missing the mark somehow. And so I started to do more research on how people do hear the voice of God. And that's how I discovered I'm more of a knower. I just sense things than I am a hearer or a seer, which God can activate all of those things in
me. Absolutely.
But the predominant way that I understand what God is saying is through just knowing something. And that's very hard to teach to kids if I'm only saying, well, did you see something?
Yeah.
What about hearing something? So I had to learn, okay, there's more. In order to be able to like impact more kids, we have to be able to open wide the gates so that we can say, okay, you might be a seer, but you might be a dreamer.
So good.
So if right now, if you're not hearing or seeing anything, then maybe what's happening is you're dreaming at night. And if you have dreams, write them down, talk to your parents. If they don't know, bring it here and we'll find somebody who can help you understand through the Holy Spirit what God's been saying. But it releases them from feeling like they'll never hear from God, and also encourages them to activate those gifts at home. So I had to repent a few times to the Lord, like, okay, I know we've got it. And I don't know why these kids aren't hearing from the Lord, but it's like, oh no, I can't, there's no formula.
Well, and even in that space, you're providing them space to say, I didn't hear anything right here, but I did. God reminded me of a dream I had.
And it's not a bad practice to sit in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad thing for them to learn ever. Yeah. And every time before we sit into our secret place, especially when we're corporately gathered, I would pray a prayer that I would have them repeat, because I want their own voice to be inviting Jesus into their secret place.
What was the prayer?
I kind of just go with every time. Yeah. Every time I was like, okay, repeat after me. Okay, Jesus, I love you. I know you're always talking, and I want to hear from you today. Will you come with me? I invite you into my secret place. Will you tell me something or show me something? Help me to feel something or know something? We want to meet with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that those kids could invite him in their own voice, and in whatever way he wants, giving him permission to speak how he wants to in the midst of that time. Because we do have so many feelers, too, that I have not experienced God as much.
So that's not really your gifting, per se. We're not feeling.
That is a deficit I would have, I would say. So when I have the feelers, I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe. I've even had kids that felt a touch.
Wow.
That were like, I look behind me and there's nothing there. And I'm awesome. Like, oh my gosh, well, I want that. That's pretty cool. So I had to learn how to, okay, each kid is going to be different, just as, which makes total sense to me. God made us all different, but he knows exactly how to meet with us. We just have to, it's like the radio analogy. A radio is broadcasting 100% of the time, 24/7, 365. We're the ones who have to know how to turn it on. And to me, that was always, let's activate the Holy Spirit within you. Let's activate those gifts that you have. And then to fine tuning is learning how to sit in the presence of the Lord and allow him to do what he wants to do. So,
well, and I also, when you were talking, I was thinking about it, you know, I feel like as parents, we sometimes don't feel very well equipped ourselves to do this with our kids. Like for so many people, it's hard for them to hear the voice of God.
Right.
Which, let's just talk about that for a second. Like if you're a person or a parent that's like, well, I don't even know, like, what does that sound like? Like, I just want to say, like, verily, verily, the Lord says unto us, like, my sheep know my voice. That's that is your birthright in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it's okay if you're not really sure how to teach this, right? Because it is hard. And just like Shelby said, you know, I feel like there's, you know, some people see pictures, some people dream dreams, some people feel things, some people, you know things. But what's cool about cultivating it in the walls of your own home together is that it leads to more discussions about equipping. How do you test the spirits if you don't hear anything or know anything or feel like God said something to you and you're not regularly talking to your kids about that? How to tune into that radio frequency of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, like constantly, right? The Word of God is living and active. That's what it says, which means that it's a living, breathing, moving thing. And so are they. Like, you know, the Word was with God, the world, you know, and we are one with that Word. We are one with them in Christ. And so I think there's this other place that it's like, we can never get to the other pieces of equipping of like, how do I know that that's God's voice and not something else, right? And then you get to talk to that same place. Do you feel peace? Does it combat or confirm the Word of God, the written Word of God, or not? Because the Holy Spirit will never say something that's against the written Word of God, right? So it's like, but we can't have those conversations because they're not able to even hear him, right? They don't know how they hear him.
I think that's too, that's where it comes in, where God talks about how we are all to be little children. So if you're a parent that maybe doesn't hear or engage with the voice of the Lord yet, do it with your kids.
Yeah.
Struggle through that with your kids. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to be humble.
Yeah.
Like little children, and come together, because they'll maybe confirm something that you heard, and that will, oh, okay, that really was, like, I also heard that, or I also saw that. Mm-hmm. So even if it's something you're not comfortable with, start practicing it. Like, what I do is turn on a 5-minute to 7-minute song that's a soaking worship. So it could be no words, could be, usually it's just a slower song.
Right.
And some kids engage with what the words are saying, which God would speak those words. So I it's always still building upon something. But cultivate it in your home by doing it, even if it's a struggle. Like, turn on the song. Everybody sits still. Everybody closes our eyes. And then maybe you get a picture and you draw it. Like, what I love today is we all had our journals out.
Yep.
And everybody either wrote or drew something.
Yep. Well, and I think that's another big key here is, like, find a way to record it. You know, where there is no vision, the people perish, you know? And so it's like, we are going to forget these things, right? A lot of people record, you know, stuff on their phones. You know, you could record your kid, you know, talking about what they heard. And I've done that as well. Like, sometimes when they have a dream that I just don't have time to sit and write down, right? And we're just talking about the dream. Like, what do you feel like God's saying? Is that even God? Like, how do you know? You know, we just struggle through it together. We sit together. We ask for confirmation together. We go to the Bible together. And sometimes, I mean, I feel like we've been doing this a long time, and obviously my gifting is, you know, more prophetic in terms of like hearing God's voice, and I see things. And so that's definitely more of my gifting, but I don't really think that has, it's not, it's just practicing it with God. Like, that's it. It's just coming before him, like you said, in humility and doing that. And it's interesting because then they will be able to test and discern. I just was thinking about that Romans, is it Romans 12:2? We were just talking about it. Romans 12:2, where it says, don't be conformed anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test what is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And you and I were talking about it, and we're like, how do you renew your mind? you got to go meet with him. Mm-hmm. You got to get in his presence to renew your mind, right? And don't be conformed to a pattern or a system, right? And let's be very clear, even in church, you know, even in schools, there is a pattern they are being taught, right? We do worship for this long, then we do communion for this long, and there's a pattern there. Mm-hmm. That's not all bad, but it's like when we conform to a pattern, we miss the renewal often of our mind and the ability to talk with him and interact with him and have the steady stream of he's talking to me constantly. And I know how to get still in his presence and listen to that, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll give you an example. We went to tour a facility we were looking at for the boys. Beautiful facility, lots of good things going on. But it was just interesting because in this time, because we've done this as a family for so long, it is so cool to go into places that you're kind of like checking out or you're discussing or you're looking at, or like a school you might put your kids in or a church you might desire to go to or a body of people that you're, mm-hmm. it's a group you want to join, and to go in there with them that they are equipped to hear the voice of God for themselves. And you should have heard their revelation coming out of this place. It was so nuts. They were confirming things and saying things that mm-hmm. they saw or heard or felt or knew. And it was so fun. It mm-hmm. was so fun because they become these little army arsenals that come alongside you and can confirm things you're feeling or mm-hmm. hearing. And it's like, because they know what God's voice sounds like and they know how to test that voice and they know, and it's familiar to them. And it's just amazing, you guys, like the fruit that we've seen in this. And now when we go into restaurants, same thing, you know, like the boys will be like, I don't like it in here. Like I see this, or the Lord's talking to me about this. Or there are times that they're like, that, you know, I think I've shared before, like God will highlight a person, you know, but it's in the walls of your home that they are learning primarily to sit and hear him. And, mm-hmm. and are we creating a space in our household for them to hear alongside us so that when they go out into the world, they're not conformed to the patterns. They're like, that's not in order with what the Bible says, or that's not in order with what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is showing me. Mm-hmm. Right. But once a week
is just not enough.
It's not enough.
Not even for us. I mean,
no.
I remember telling kids, like, after they would share their testimonies, I go, make sure to share with your parents what you shared here.
So good.
Because I know that the majority of your parents probably don't know if they hear God's voice for themselves or not. Mm-hmm. And they take it for granted. The kids would just be like, oh, secret place time. Like, okay, let's do this. Yeah. I heard this and I heard this. And they'd pop off. And then I'm like, guys, this isn't happening mm-hmm. in a corporate gathering. This isn't happening in the big church. Like, they're not listening to the voice of God and then sharing what they've experienced. This is something that's very special that we get to do back here. Mm-hmm. And if your parents don't know, then maybe you teach them. Like, I just, in moving, left a church that I had been doing like a house church
yeah.
and helping in kids in the kids ministry and just writing lessons. And it got to the point where I'm like, wow, I just want to spend so much more time in secret place time. And so one of the more energetic houses where we had more kids, mm-hmm. some younger, it was harder to kind of cultivate that time. And it felt for a while, it felt like, okay, this isn't working. I don't know how to make it work, but it's not my job to make it work. So I'm just going to pray about it.
Yeah.
And so when I left my last time, I think it was the time before the last time, we only had time for like a 5-minute song. Mm-hmm. And so I played a 5-minute song and they were all mad at me. They're like, that wasn't long enough. And I barely got to go into my secret place. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, well, how do we know the next teacher's going to know? And so I'm like, you guys know. You're equipped yeah. to teach them now. So you teach them how to do secret place time and you tell them how important it is because you need to be doing this. But then they were able, because it was a smaller gathering and inside a home and I got mm-hmm. to know the parents, they were able to cultivate that into their lives and yeah. talk more about, well, I felt like God's saying this, or I had a dream and I think it's important. You know, they were able to start recognizing that, but it was so important to them. And I loved that they were mad at me
yeah.
for not playing the song long enough. Like, I'm like, guys, I have to end this in order for us to go home. Like, and I just, that blessed me, like, wow, okay. Like, this is the place I didn't feel I was making enough of an impact. God was ready to make that impact. Like, he was doing it. I just didn't see the fruit right away. And then by the end, they're like, we're sad to not have you teach our secret place time anymore.
Well, and I think too, as parents, we probably do hear his voice. You know, if you're not sure, if you're not sure of how you hear him or whatever, you know, we hear, my sheep know my voice. You know, you probably hear him more than you think. But I think what is so cool about practicing hearing God together is that you feed off one another, right? The Holy Spirit deep calls to deep, right? It speaks and intercedes on behalf of us. And so there is a corporate time to gather that I think it makes that corporate time so much more rich because they're all bringing their piece, right? They start to understand how they're equipped and how they fit and the way that the things that they have to say that God showed them that then that does encourage and exhort the believers and other, right? Because there is a space where we come together in community. We have to. We are not supposed to do it alone. You know, Paul encourages that. Don't get that meeting together. Right? No matter what that looks like, but we are called to do it in community. But I really feel like there's this place of like, how do we do it well in community with all the pieces we are called to bring and teach our children to do that if we're not cultivating the place of understanding how we hear him and what he's saying to us and then what we bring into that corporate gathering? I think it makes that corporate gathering so much more rich. And the opposite is also true, right? How are we're sending these young people into, you know, youth groups and expecting them to encounter God, right? When all their friends are there with all the things that we know happen in youth group, right? We're worried about how we look and we're insecure, whatever. And that does not have to be our story. Like, I don't think I'm a firm believer that like we don't even expect enough or our children, our adolescents and our teenagers to rise to the occasion. Like, they are young adults to me. Like, they're not even kids at that point, right? So I'm not speaking that over them. I'm just saying there's many conflicting voices. The enemy is very loud. And if they're not understanding from a young age of how to hear his voice and know what it says, know what God is saying, how do they ever go into work and school and all the places where the enemy's voice is very loud?
And equipped, and how are they going to be equipped to be in those spaces?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the kids that I would have in a big church gathering going home to parents who maybe don't practice this, who don't even know if they hear the voice of God. How is that being cultivated in the home? Does it stop after Sunday's over? I have some kids that talk about, pushing through and like, oh, I'm going to go. I went and sat in my secret place time. Or I'll have parents that'll send me, this is where she decided to go secret place, I guess. Like, the cutest things. But I'm like, that's where I'm like, okay, this is where it's failing, is that back to the cultivation of the soil of the heart, is that if it's not happening on a regular basis in the home, those seeds can land on hardened soil, rocky soil, get eaten by something, you know, like the enemy has opposition against those seeds, does not want them to receive a fuller understanding of who they are. And that's why my hope, I guess, and vision in kids ministry was connect them to Jesus for themselves, help them to hear his voice, but also that's going to solidify the identity of who they are and give them a foundation to stand on when those teenage years come and hormones start to race and you're given a million choices and thrown in a million different directions, especially if there's a public school or whatever that looks like. Even youth group, it's, do I sit down with the ones who talk the whole time, or do I make friends over here and really press in, you know? So that was why our vision was so important. But also, you can see where this would be cultivated beyond a service.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about, like, the service that we provide at a church should be the extra seasoning on top of something.
Yeah.
It should all of us. It should not be the main course.
That's true of all of us adults, you know, I mean, same kind of thing. Right. And I mean, and I've talked before about my vision for homeschooling has always been not that I want to keep them from the world, that to me, they're to be salt and light in the world. You're never, ever going to keep the world out. That's like such a futile effort. And I've talked so many times about, you know, video games. I let my kids, you know, discern. And we talk about, you know, hey, is that a good spot? And why? And what are you seeing? You know, and I prefer to do it that way, you know, but it to me, it's also the space of like, where are we entrust and who are we entrusting our kids to have and cultivate their soil, you know? And so for me, also school is part of that, right? To me, that's a system. It's definitely a pattern and I understand it, right? They have to have rules in order to create order, but I'm not after just school. I want a full bodied education, and education is so much more than school. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, again, I want to see them. I want them to have friends. I want them to go out and experience the world. You know, I put my kids into other classes so that they do get to interact with just the world around them and kids who are not raised in biblical homes. And I mean, and I love it. I love the stuff that they get to talk to me about and the things they're discerning in the, and like, you know what God told me when I was listening to the science class, and they were like, that can't be God because that's not what God does. God created that, you know? And the, and it's so cool because they can refute that on their own, mm-hmm. but it's also not their main diet. Their main diet is not 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, in that space of school where they're getting fed a very steady stream of that, right? The majority of what they're learning at home is how to regulate. And I want to talk about something, and I know we're going to get long, so I may split these up into two, but one thing that I thought you said that was so interesting is Legend, who's my youngest, is he's just a mover. Typically how God speaks to him is knowing. He's very kinesthetic, very tactile kid. And I've said before, like, he's my child that just will invent things. Like, mm-hmm. he's just super, he just figures out how things work and he'll just put them together. And he's so tactile. And so what's crazy about that is when he is in his secret place, he has to actually be seated or moving in a space that like matches who he is in Christ. And so like in his secret place with the Lord, he has dogs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so today we were observing that one while he was in secret place. Guess where he was? In my home, on the dog's bed, you know, petting our dog. And Shelby's like, oh my gosh, that is so cool that for him, he actually has to be in a physical space that matches his spirit, the space that the Lord takes him spiritually, right? That he, his time with God, where would that be, right? In him. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I have a tons of dogs. And one dog just had puppies. And I mean, he just, it's just like where he meets the Lord. And so there's also a place of like carving out a space that, that matches who that child is.
Each kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Each unique kid has their own kind of encounter. Mm-hmm. And you can tell with Legend, he has to be moving.
He does.
In one form or fashion, or joking or whatever. But usually in this more serious times, it probably might be a detriment to have to be so still. Mm-hmm.
And not that he's disruptive or moving all over the place, no, or talking.
His mind might start mm-hmm. to move in ways that he doesn't like when he's sitting still, if that makes sense. So you can tell, like, warriors love sitting with the Lord, mm-hmm. likes to draw it out, write it out, whatever that looks like for mm-hmm. him. But Legend has to be moving. Even if he was laying on the bed, he was like fidgeting. And once the dog left, he was like banging on drums to the song or whatever. So I'm like, yeah, you're a mover. And God speaks to you in a way that maybe I don't have a formula for. So we got to start allowing you to
help us figure out that formula.
Yeah. What's best for you?
That's so good. And again, it goes back to systems. Systems can't raise our kids. They just can't. I don't care what system it is. School, church, you know, jujitsu, sports. They're additives mm-hmm. onto the soil of our children's lives. And I think that, again, this is such a practical and beautiful way to start somewhere in making the encounter of God constant. Because if we're going to raise a remnant, they have to know who he is and for themselves. And they have to know what he says and be able to stand firmly on his voice mm-hmm. and his word.
Yeah. Yeah. We give a lot. I would always give a pretty practical like help to understand and discern whose voice you might be hearing. And if you don't already hear the voice of the Lord, or you might already hear, but you just don't know, there's three voices in your head at all times. You've got the Lord, mm-hmm. yourself, because mm-hmm. the flesh for sure has its own will and emotions, And then you have the enemy, mm-hmm. and the enemy likes to try to even disguise himself. Like once you've been practicing this for a while, he might even try to sneak in sounding like the Lord, mm-hmm. but that somehow just doesn't feel right. But we would always give the best example, which is so simple, but I tell the kids like, okay, your mom just baked a batch of fresh cookies and she just kind of like piles them on the counter and leaves the room, but told you right before she left, she said, do not touch these cookies. You may have 3 cookies, but it has to be after dinner. Leaves the room. You're left with your own thoughts. Mm-hmm. First thought is like, well, she will not even notice if I have one because that pile has no organization to it. This is me as a child.
There's 30 cookies right there. She's not going to count them.
Like, so there's no way. She doesn't know how many there are. That's your first voice. Next one is, those smell so good. And I am immediately hungry and need one. And then the last one says, no, if you wait, you'll get to have 3 with a clear conscience. So you will not have any so sort good. Of suffering through that. And so I ask the kids, who's who?
So good.
And they can identify every time. Yeah. Like, so the more we practice.
So good.
That first voice is obviously the enemy trying to trick you. It seems simple and like you might get away with it, but ultimately you'll probably get caught because moms just always know. And then that second voice is your own flesh. You think it smells good. You are hungry. I will tell you, not eating a lot of sugar lately.
Yeah.
It's always a temptation. But then the third voice being God keeping you on track.
Yeah.
Is
so good.
It's just good to know the difference between. And that helps the kids. And honestly, like if you get caught up in what does God's voice sound like? I always come back to I think it's 1 Corinthians 13:4, the love verses, the wedding verses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if God is love, mm-hmm. and love are all of these things, then that's what his voice sounds like.
So good.
So read through that scripture. So you know that if you, okay, this is what I heard, but it felt like condemnation, or I felt shameful when I heard this, or you can feel convicted, but God's not going to use, you know, confusion or chaos or any of those things. So learning to discern the voices, you can start with the love verses, but also just doing it all together. Once mm-hmm. you are in a family and more people are practicing this and saying what they see or they feel, you'll start to see, oh, that was confirmed in what I saw. Like, I think it's so important to try to spend that time with your family because that's where you develop that.
Well, and I think when you were talking about that specific example, that's so practical. And like you said, kids are like, well, I know which one's which, mm-hmm. right? We all do. But it's hard to take something like that, a concept like that, and like bring it down to their level. And I feel like there's a second, you know, a goal that accomplishes, and that it can lead to other conversations. Like, God's voice does give us rules, right? It gives us boundaries, but it's for protection, right? Mm-hmm. Because that second voice, that flesh, if I follow that, I'm going to feel guilty. I'm mm-hmm. going to feel bad about it because I just gave in, right? But if I'm listening to God's voice, although there's rules and boundaries around it, it's for my own, it's for my blessing, mm-hmm. right? And like they are getting to connect that, right? And they're getting to connect what happens when they don't listen to that. You know, we've mm-hmm. also had the opposite happen where, you know, the boys will hear something that God says to do and then they don't do it. And it is so cool how the Holy Spirit, and then we get to talk about it. Then I don't even have to parent that, right? Yeah. Like, because they're like, Mom, I did this thing and the Lord told me not to. And that is just so cool because they're feeling the conviction of God mm-hmm. versus me. And then I get to just sit in it with them, right? I just get to be like, oh my gosh, I've been there.
Right. Haven't we all?
I mean, right? Like I get, and then I don't, it's like not up to me mm-hmm. to teach them how to have a conscience.
Or because, to call them out on it. They yes, experience that for themselves.
Because they knew. Mm-hmm. They knew they hurt him and then didn't do what he asked them to do.
Right.
Which
right.
is so, and I'm telling you, like from a parenting perspective, that translates into them doing the same thing with me, right? Mm-hmm. My mom said not to, and I'm going to feel bad if I don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. So it becomes this place where like the Holy Spirit is really, truly, they're learning to feel that conviction versus me constantly telling them what right and wrong is.
Mm-hmm.
So great. I love that analogy of the cookies. All of us should use that. I'm coining that. I think you should write that down, which brings me to Shelby, you do have a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called?
Awaken International.
And what is like the vision, the goal of that? Basically,
the vision and the goal is to basically love on kids all over the world, but also to teach them the voice of God.
Yeah.
My heart is that this world is getting crazier and crazier, and I can't control the type of parents that kids have. I mean, I got to go and stay at an orphanage for 3 months, and these kids don't necessarily have people around them cultivating this. So there are kids out there that don't have access to even the Bible in their language in a children's format.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is continue to reach as many kids as I can with this message, teaching them how to hear the voice of God, laying a foundation of who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are, and then diving into what his voice sounds like, how you can spend time in his presence in your secret place. So just cultivating that.
And then awaken that within them, right? Awaken their true identity.
Right.
And awaken.
Equip them. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, I need them to have the voice of God. If they have that to stand on, they will have everything they need. It makes me think of David. Like, he had God with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he needed.
Yep. Yes.
All of man was trying to tell him, you need this, you need this, you can't do this, all these things. And he knew what he knew his God.
Well, and that goes back to a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to be the last man standing or a small band that can stand, like, you might not have a whole host of people around you to give you everything that you think you need.
Mm-hmm.
A remnant has to know him, to go to him for what they need and know how to access him and hear him. So good. I mean, I hope that this has blessed all of you. It has blessed me. And Shelby, you've been such a huge blessing to our family in so many ways. My boys are different because they've met you. We are different because they were able to sit under your tutelage and really see, you know, God. I felt like it was that partnership of like, okay, we were doing a lot of these things in our home. And I felt like just the little practical things that you shared brought a whole new level of God and the ability to hear God and know him for themselves into our family. And so as we close out this time, I just pray that you have been blessed, and I pray that you would be able to apply some of these practical tools. Again, it's not a formula. It's just a starting place. I pray that God takes it farther, farther and farther for you, that he gives you more and more revelation, that your time as a family to practice hearing him together about specific things you're praying for, or even just let's just see what God's saying about you and your life right now, or things you're wondering. I just pray that it goes farther and farther and farther, and it takes on a whole life of the Holy Spirit of its own and morphs into something that's so unique for your family. I just pray that this blesses you. And Shelby, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. Bless you guys. We'll see you next time.